Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, name 794, Krita Karma. Krita means who has done, action completed. Karma is a very well known word, means action. So the two parts of this name, Krita and Karma, they are linguistically connected. Something which is done, and karma is action. The names previous to this were Indra Karma and Maha Karma, and now we have Krita Karma. Now, of course, Sri Parashara Bhatta is explaining this series of names in relationship to Buddha Avatar. So he explains this name to mean that Bhagavan Vishnu, appearing as Buddha Dev, he practiced what he preached to the asuras in order to convince them. Apanena koile dharma shikhan na jai, we find in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, as a general principle, and particularly in relationship to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is stated that if one does not personally practice dharma, then he cannot teach it to others. Srila Prabhupada gave the example that if someone tells someone else not to smoke cigarettes, but they themselves smoke cigarettes, then the teaching will not be effective. That was common in the Western world, in India, and so many places, that the father would beat the son if he found him smoking. This is going back a couple of generations. Beating children has gone out of vogue. He would beat the son if he found him smoking cigarettes. Although the females, they wouldn't even think of smoking at that time. That came later. So the boys got the idea that it's not allowed for kids, it's allowed for men. So that reinforced their determination to smoke, because I want to be a man, I'm not a kid. I can smoke like a man. Give me a cigarette and let me die like a man. That I heard years ago. At Shelda Station or Howrah Station on the opposite sides of the Ganga, Calcutta, one man had been hit by a train, which is not unusual with the pushing and shoving when the local train, especially a local train or long distance train, comes in. comes into the station, people are pushing and shoving on the edge of the platform because they want to get in so they can get a seat, because seats are limited. And one man fell down, and he was all mangled up by the train, and he was dying. And Achyutananda Swami said to him, "Now chant Hare Krishna." And with his last breath, he said, "Give me a cigarette and let me die like a man." So very strongly imbibed sense of what I should do. Buddha Dev inculcated that in his followers, who imbibed that. And we can see the power of Buddha Dev, that even up to the present day, his cult is going on very strongly. Even though it makes no sense, and is not even doesn't have any pretensions to make sense. Well, it depends which branch of Buddhism you're in. But anyway, Buddha Dev, he practiced meditation. He practiced the middle path of not being too austere. Although in Indian culture at that time, in Vedic culture at that time, with all these shramans around who are doing extreme austerities, and even up until recently in India, it was not uncommon for people to accept difficult, very great difficulties for the tapasya, austerity, for the sake of religious merit or religious advancement. So when Buddha spoke of the middle path, it was one of not extreme austerity, but it's a matter where you place the measure. It's something like it's said, what is that, right wing, left wing, that the definitions of that change as politics changes. What was considered extreme left wing is now considered centrist in much of the Western world today. So Buddhadev, he taught the middle path, and he followed the middle path of not accepting extreme austerity and at the same time not indulging in unnecessary sense gratification. But still, if we see the way that Buddhist monks, especially those in, there's a sect, it's, well, not really a sect, but in Sri Lanka, there are the forest monks who, they want to practice the way that the original Buddhists did, and it's very austere compared to the fairly comfy life of a Buddhist, say a Thai Buddhist monk. People become a monk for 2 weeks. That was the culture when I was living in Thailand in the 1980s. It's less practiced nowadays. But every man before he marries has to become a monk for 2 weeks. But they have a little cell, and in the cell they'll listen to rock music and photos of pretty girls and so. Not really very austere, and they go out and they beg, and people give them fish and meat and so many things. There was and still is the Santi Asok in Thailand who wanted to practice Buddhism seriously. So for them, no shoes, no meat, fish or eggs, eating only once a day. And they wanted to follow rules very strictly, which that may seem to be not a middle path, but very extreme. But they wanted to follow the way that Buddha himself followed, teaching by his example. So Lord Buddha taught by his example. He didn't just talk about Buddhism, but he practiced it himself. And in this way, the demoniac people who were misusing the Vedas for the sake of killing animals, they became completely convinced by him. Of course, there were other factors also. We heard also in this series of names, Shubhanga, his beautiful form, also attracted them. So in various ways, he attracted them. Mahakarma, his great act of long meditation that appealed to them. Because they're a certain kind of demoniac person. After all, the people who are performing sacrifices for killing animals, they're from Brahmin background. We hear from Varaha Purana, Rakshasim Kalimashritya Jayate Brahma Yonishu, that Lord Krishna, toward the end of Dwarpa Yuga, he killed so many demons, but there were others who escaped. They didn't get killed. And they appeared again in Kali Yuga as Brahmanas. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone born as a Brahmana in Kali Yuga is a Rakshasa, but there were and are some like that. So they misinterpreted the Vedic path. They were taking the Vedic path on a wrong direction, because within the Vedic principles, and at that time that was before Shankara, so before the emphasis on the Upanishads and the Vritti Marga, there was much emphasis on sacrifices in which animals are killed as part of the sacrifice with the aim of going to the higher planets. So that's supposed to be a pious activity if done properly, but these demoniac brahmanas, or so-called brahmanas, born in Brahmin families, they were misusing the Vedic injunctions to promote wanton slaughter of animals. So Lord Buddha, Nindasi Yagya Vidher, Ahaha, Shruti Jatam, Sadaya Hridaya, Darshita Pashu Ghatam, Keshava Dhritta Buddha Sharira, Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Lord Buddha appeared, and in order to stop the animal killing, being very compassionate upon the animals, he decried the Vedas. Because if he tried to tell them, you can't do this, say, no, it's in the Vedas. How can you say? If you don't believe in these Vedic injunctions, then you're Gnostic. You have to follow the Vedas. We're following the Vedas. So he made them give up the belief in the Vedas. And he made them actually Gnostic. Vedna mania bodh hoito Gnostic. By not following the Vedas, the Buddhists, they're called Gnostic, which means those who don't accept the Vedas. So that was required at the time. Isn't that amazing? That in order to benefit the world, he decried the Vedas. The Vedas are meant for the uplift of humanity, but if misused, they can cause great harm. So he taught Ahimsa Parabo Dharma, that the highest dharma is non-violence. But actually, if we understand properly, killing animals in sacrifices, if it's done exactly according to the Vedic injunctions, it's not violence. Well, it is and it isn't. It's just like, okay, two is, let's say, minus two is a negative integer, so that's minus. But then if you add three to it, it becomes positive. So if you it becomes a positive, then it becomes one. So if you do something negative, you can't say it's not negative. There is a minus two, but if you add plus three to it, it becomes plus one. So in the same way, killing animals, yes, it can. It's counted as hingsa, as violence. But then the result is the animal sacrifice is immediately promoted to a human body with the opportunity of following the Vedic injunctions. Whereas otherwise, it would have to wait. The jiva in that body would have to wait for many lifetimes, and also it's generating auspiciousness by being part of the Vedic process. But if that understanding is not there, and if the motive is not there to do it solely for the sake of upholding the Vedas, if one pretends to follow the Vedas for the sake of piety but has another motive, then that is not following. Therefore, another consideration is that the brahmanas, by that wicked motivation, they became devoid of the potency to perform the animal sacrifice in such a way that the animal sacrificed would get that benefit. So it just became like a slaughterhouse. And therefore, it is stated in the Shastra, Ashvamedham Gavalambhyam, the first two of the five activities, Kalo Pancha Vivarjayet, the first two of the five activities forbidden in Kali Yuga, horse sacrifice and cow sacrifice. Ashvamedha gavalambyam, ashvamedham gavalambyam, sanyasam payalapaitrikam, devarena sutotpatim kalo panchavivarjayet. Five activities forbidden in Kali Yuga, even though they are part of the Vedic path, but in Kali Yuga they're forbidden. Horse sacrifice, cow or bull sacrifice, acceptance of sannyas, sannyasam palapaitrikam, offering meat in shrad ceremony, and begetting a child in the womb of one's brother's wife. These five things are forbidden in Kali Yuga. So, Lord Buddha, he decried the Vedas. He stopped following the Vedic path. He was born as Kshatriya. He dismissed the caste system. We find among Buddhists that they don't follow the caste system. Although there's hierarchy, whether you institute it officially or not officially. Among Muslims in India and Christians in India, there's still the caste system. Even though one reason the Christians and Muslims, they preach to make Hindus convert is, you see, caste system, very bad, but they themselves follow it, even after conversion, even after hundreds of years of conversion. But in Buddhism, there's not officially like that, although you can't eliminate hierarchy in human society. You can't even eliminate it in chicken society. That's why we talk about a pecking order. What to speak of in... Well, you'd think that humans would be more advanced in consciousness. Well, the advancement in consciousness is to recognize that everyone is not equal, as Karl Marx would have us believe. There's this wrong idea. Spiritually, everyone is equal. Materially, there are always going to be differences. And even spiritually, in the stage of perfection, there are differences also. So Lord Buddha Dev, he followed what he preached, and everyone saw it, and they were convinced by it. It wasn't that he was preaching one thing and then secretly he'd hide away and chant Vedic mantras, not like some Hindu politicians who they preach against Hinduism for their political purposes, but secretly at home they do some kind of puja, or their wife is doing enough talk of politics. It's a fact that some they decry, but actually they're trying to get the best of both worlds. For their political purposes, they decry Hinduism, but they do a little puja, this and that, thinking that, well, you never know. I might as well get the benefit. Kritakritya is a term used in Sanskrit and used in high-class usage of Indian languages. It's not such a well-known term, but it is used in literary Bengali, Hindi, and that means one who has done what he set out to do. Kritakritya. Kritya means that which is to be done, and krita means that done. So done which is to be done. Sometimes I used to see in the Bengali newspaper they'd have a photo in the classified section, they'd have photos of a student who came top of the class, and they say kritakritya, and you use that word. So krita karma is the same understanding. Shankaracharya gives this. He's done what he set out to do. Nothing more to achieve. Nakartavyam kinchidapi karma asya vidyata iti krita karma. Another commentator Krishna Datta Bharadvaj refers us to Bhagavad Gita chapter 3 verse 22 in this regard. Name parthasti kartavyam tushu lokeshu kinchana nana vaptam avaptavyam varta eva chakaramani. O Arjuna, there's nothing for me to be done in all the three worlds, nor is there anything that I have to do to get anything, but I go on working. Krishna sets the example. He's done everything, but still he goes on working for the sake of setting an example to others. So whatever is to be done, we may think, I will be the first to climb Mount Everest. Well, we'd have to take a time machine and go back in time. Sir Edmund Hillary from New Zealand, I believe, was the first to climb Mount Everest. Three cheers. No? Three cheers for him. He's dead now. Surprise, surprise. That was in the 1950s, so wouldn't expect him to be still alive. So he was the first to do that tremendous activity. He was the first. But, you know, there's always someone who's done something before us because time goes in circles. Krishna does the maha karma of creating the universe. He's done it before. He's lifted the how many times did Krishna lift Govardhan Hill? Once, right? Yeah, he does his pastimes. He's still a small boy. He convinces his father not to worship Indra. He holds up the Govardhan Hill and he puts it down again. And then he goes off and he does Rasa Leela. And then he leaves Vrindavan. He does so many other things. We don't hear him coming back again and picking up Govardhan Hill. He only did it once. He's done it unlimited times. But he takes great pleasure in doing it again and again. His eternal name is Govardhana Dhari, Giridhari, Girivara Dhari, the lifter of the hill. He does it again and again and again. He doesn't get fed up. He doesn't get bored. Why? Because each time he's interacting with his devotees, and that's his pleasure. It's just like we go on chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's the same old mantra. And we go on chanting it, and we don't get tired because it's Krishna and there's Rasa, Akhila. What is that? Akhila Rasamrita Murti. Krishna is the very form of all nectarian rasa. So Krishna does creation, maintenance, destruction, dancing with the gopis, lifting Govardhan Hill. He does it again and again and again. He feels fully satisfied in doing it. But then in another way, he wants to do it again and again and again because it's so pleasing to him. Materially, we may be the first to do something. And people do all kinds of bizarre things in order to become known as the first to do it. There was a man who ate a motor car in order to get himself in the Guinness Book of Records. But I think they stopped doing things like that, which could be harmful to yourself. How did he do it? He got it all ground down and took a tiny little bit of the powder every day. So I've heard. I don't know. Sometimes there are what is called urban myths, which in previous days used to be called folklore or fairy stories. So it may or may not be true, but then after it would take quite a few years to eat a small car, even by taking a little bit every day, and if you don't get cancer or some other disease in the meantime. But apparently he did so he could say, I was the first one to eat a car. Of course, the scrapyards eat cars every day, don't they? There's been some other idiot before you, at least in another in another Maha Yuga, it would only be in Kali Yuga, it's only in Kali Yuga people do such ridiculous things like that. Someone's done it before. We may say, I was the first man to run a mile in a minute. Roger Bannister, I think his name was, Oxford University student, again in the 1950s. He was British. Oh, great, great. And then after him, so many people did it faster than a mile in a minute. But he was the first. He's dead also. Must be by now. Where is he now? Maybe he's a snail. Maybe he's a cheetah, the cheetahs who run very fast. We don't know. It's all one big zero. In this way, we can relate it all to Buddhism. Buddhism is the reification of material existence. Material existence adds up to one big zero. The only difference between the Buddhists and the non-Buddhists is that the Buddhists are literally trying to become zero, and the materialists are trying to make everything great, make America great again. Great Britain. Restore the glory of the, I don't know, Carthaginian Empire. Anyone doing that? But it's all, there may be an infinitude of activities to do in material existence, but it all comes to one big zero. So infinitude and infinitesimality, it all comes to the same thing. It's all one big zero. But for Krishna, everything is one. Everything is one. Everything is bliss. And within that one, there are so many varieties. Vishishtadvaita. The qualified oneness. So many wonderful things to do with Krishna. Krishna's done it all before. Krita karma. He's done it before. But he is nitya navayamana, always feels fresh and new, as if it was never done. Just like Krishna goes to meet Radharani, and both of them feel as if they'd never met each other before. It's as fresh, and every day they go and meet, but they feel it's just fresh, just new, as if it never happened before. And the same, the danger of escaping from the house, getting out of the house without being seen, getting back without being seen. It's all as if it's completely new. Done it before, but it's always fresh. Krita karma also means, or it gives the idea of doing a job completely, thoroughly, properly, satisfactorily, and then we must come to Satyadeva Vashishtha, who gives so many meanings of these names of Vishnu Sahasranam in terms of Lord Narayana's activities in relation to the material world. So he explains the name Krita Karma as he who keeps on repeating the whole process of creating, maintaining, and destroying the whole material creation. He does it again and again and again. It means he's done it, but he does it again, and he does it very perfectly. Yata Puravam Makalpayat, from the Rig Veda. He created everything as before. He's did it before, and he does it again. Another meaning, or another nuance, we can say, of the name Krita Karma is one who performs activities that no one else can do. That's God, right? Putting an elephant through the eye of a needle. We know the story. The cobbler, sitting under a tree, chanting Hare Krishna, sees Narad Muni going along the path, bows down to him. He's sitting under the cobbler sitting under a banyan tree, cobbling his shoes, sewing the shoes. And he bows down to Narad Muni, seeing him. Where are you going, Narad? I'm going to Vaikuntha. Oh, you're going to see Lord Vishnu. Please offer my most humble. I'm not at all worthy, but please, you are a devotee. You offer obeisance on my behalf. If you mention my name, Lord Narayan, he will be kind to me because I'm so fallen and low. I'm dealing in leather and all these things. So Narad goes along the path a little more and sees a Brahmana chanting Vedic mantras, very puffed up. And he sees Narad and says, oh, Narad, you came. All right, I'll give you a blessing. Where are you going? I'm going to Vaikuntha. Yeah, I'm going to Vaikuntha. Come on, tell me another one. What are you talking about? You just can't go to Vaikuntha just like that. Anyway, tell Lord Narayan that I'm getting old and I should be coming soon, so have a good welcome party for me and make sure everything's very nice for me. Tell him. So Narad goes to Vaikuntha and sees Lord Vishnu. And, oh, I left something out. Both the cobbler and the brahmana said, the cobbler said to Narada, oh, please come back and tell me what you saw. Tell me what Narayan was doing. And the brahmana said, ah, you're going to Vaikuntha? Ah, I don't believe you. Well, if you go, I'll believe you if you go and you come back and you tell me what Narayan was doing. Give a good description. So Narad went to Vaikuntha, offered his obeisance to Narayana, and he told what the cobbler and the brahmana had said. And Lord Narayan said, you can tell both of them that I was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. Narad said, okay, I'll tell them that. So he goes back. First he comes to the brahmana. He's closer to Vaikuntha. So, oh, Narad, you came. Oh, so, all right, I'll give you a blessing again. Okay, I'll give you a blessing. So, where have you been? I went to Vaikuntha. Yeah, yeah, sure. Okay, tell me what was Narayan doing? He was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. Blah, what a nonsense. You Vaishnavas, you're all nonsense. Get out of here. So Narad goes on, he comes to the cobbler, and the cobbler bows out. Oh, Narad, you've been to Vaikuntha. What was Lord Narayan doing? He's putting an elephant through the eye of a needle. Oh, how wonderful! My lord, what great things you do. And Narad was surprised. He said that, really? Don't you find it a little difficult to believe that Lord Narayan was putting an elephant through the eye of a needle? He said, no, why not? He can do anything. Can do whatever he likes. Just like I'm sitting under this banyan tree and the seeds fall down and inside every little seed is a huge banyan tree. So why can he not put an elephant through the eye of a needle? He can do whatever he likes. So he can do things that no one else can perform. He can put a whole banyan tree right in the seed of a banyan in latent form. He can do that. You can't do that. I can't do that. Indra, Chandra, Vayu, they can't do that. The greatest scientists in the world, they can't do that. They can study it and think themselves to be very great scientists because they can give some biological explanation of it, but they can't do it and they can't understand how it came into being. They give some strange ideas that just by random interaction, undirected interaction of chemicals, everything has come into existence. fools. So, Vashishta, Satyadeva Vashishta, says that, yeah, it's the same thing. He gives the same idea. No one else can do this creation, maintenance, and destruction. He gives the example, Satyadeva Vashishta. The sun appears and sets unendingly every day from the beginning of the world and goes on till the end of this world, and no one else can do it. And with such perfection, down to detail, how this world is set up. And again he does it. Now, Baladev Vidyabhushan, he gives a completely different angle on this. Krita karma. He says that just like we had the description of Krishna, he does so many activities, killing Narakasura, liberating the princesses who had been imprisoned by him, wedding them simultaneously, bringing the Parijata tree from the heavenly planets for Satyabhama, fighting Banasura, and in the process defeating Lord Shiva. So these so many things. Cutting off Banasura's thousand arms. Who could do this? Who could do this? Only Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he does it. He actually does it. Theoretically, we may say God can do anything, but Krishna comes and shows that he's just not a theory in some theologian's book, but he is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's an amazing thing, actually. It's a manifestation of Krishna's illusory potency that people who are supposed to believe, they claim to be believers in God, and they say that God can do anything. And then when he comes and does all kinds of things that no one else can do, they don't believe it. Krishna comes and he does all kinds of inimitable, insuperable activities, clearly showing that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But people who claim to be in God say, no, 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 that can't be God. God doesn't do things like that. It's theistic Maya. It's not just the atheists who are in illusion, but the theists also. Believing in God, well, that's a good start, but then why should you deny Krishna, who shows by his activities that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? All his actions are full and complete. Another meaning of Krita Karma is that he prescribes the path of karma, that which should be done and that which should not be done. He gives the Vedic codes, pravritting cha, nivritting cha, janana, vidura, suraha. Pravritti, in this context, the word pravritti means those activities which should be performed. And nivritti means those activities which should not be performed. This is according to, what does it mean, which should be done and which should not be done? It means according to the injunctions of the Vedas. That is given by Krishna. So that's another meaning of Krita Karma. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nidhaya chunakang padaya nipatya kritva chaka kushata metadam bravimi. Hey sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat gauranga chandra charane kuruta. parivadatu jano yata tata va nanu mukaro navayam vicharayamaha. Hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilotama nartama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama Rama.